Okay, let's unpack this today. We're doing a deep dive based on your sources into something really quite compelling. How nature itself, might be this powerful, maybe untapped ally in fighting non-small cell lung cancer.
Yeah, it's fascinating. What's truly remarkable is seeing how these natural agents, things with a really deep history in medicine actually, are showing immense promise. Not just alone, but maybe especially when you combine them with our, let's say, our most advanced conventional therapies.
Right. So our mission today for you listening is to really distill the latest preclinical research. Mm-hmm. We want to pull out the most important insights. We'll look at how these compounds actually work, their surprising synergy with standard treatments, and well, the big hurdles we still need to clear. Yep. Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting, maybe even surprising for some. The historical role these natural compounds have played. I mean, did you know that between 1940 and 2014, something like half 50% of all approved anti-cancer drugs, they came from natural products or, direct derivatives?
Yeah, think about Taxol, the vinca alkaloids, well-known drugs.
Exactly. So what does that tell us, do you think, about their sort of fundamental potential even now?
Well, it speaks volumes about their incredible biological richness. I mean, the core insight really is they're still relevant because their mechanisms are so diverse. They don't just stop cancer cells growing. They trigger various forms of programmed cell death, basically, getting cancer cells to self-destruct in different ways.
Sophisticated mechanism.
Very. And they can stop tumors from spreading, even fine-tune the body's own immune response. Take licorice extract, for example. It's been shown to encourage certain immune cells, these CD8 plus T cells, to get into the tumor, which strengthens the anti-tumor fight. Mm. And quite uniquely, there's this traditional formula, Chaihu-Longu-Muli decoction. It's even shown potential to interfere with stress-induced tumor growth. It seems to suppress a key pathway, the RAP1-ERK pathway, which highlights this interesting link between chronic stress and, well, cancer progression.
Wow. Okay. So this history, this deep biological versatility, it points to some remarkable potential. But what happens then when we combine these natural agents with the advanced treatments we already use?
Ah, yes. This is where I think the real power starts to emerge. If you look at the bigger picture, these preclinical studies, they consistently show natural compounds can significantly boost chemo's effectiveness. They can help overcome drug resistance, which is a huge problem. And crucially, they might reduce those severe side effects from conventional drugs.
Right. The side effects are key.
Absolutely. Take curcumin, for instance. It's shown promise in improving sensitivity and preventing resistance when you combine it with chemo like cisplatin and gemcitabine.
And I saw something even more powerful. Combinations like the herb Scutellaria bicalensis with cisplatin, it didn't just amplify the anti-cancer effects. It actually reduced cisplatin's nasty side effects, things like cachexia, that severe muscle wasting, and kidney damage.
Exactly. That dual benefit, making treatment more effective and potentially safer. That could be truly transformative for patients, for you listening.
Absolutely.
But, this naturally brings up a really important question. If they're so promising, why aren't these compounds just standard in cancer care already?
Yeah. What's the holdup?
Well, the truth is there are some pretty significant hurdles. Many natural compounds, curcumin is a good example. Again, they struggle with things like poor water solubility and low bioavailability.
Which basically means?
It just means they don't easily get absorbed or reach the tumor in high enough concentrations to really do their job effectively in the body.
Okay. Makes sense. And then there's the complexity of the herbs themselves, right? Especially the multi-component formulations.
Precisely. Standardizing them, ensuring you get consistent results every time, that's incredibly difficult. It's all part of what researchers sometimes call the valley of death in drug development.
That gap between promising lab results, the preclinical stuff, and actually getting a successful treatment into clinical practice.
That's the one. So to bridge that gap, future research, the preclinical work, it really needs to focus on a couple of things. Advanced drug delivery systems, maybe using nanoparticles to get these compounds where they need to go more effectively.
Like tiny little delivery trucks.
Sort of, yeah. And also using more physiologically relevant models in the lab. Ones that better mimic actual human conditions. Things like patient-derived xenografts, where you're essentially testing on human tumor samples grown in a controlled setting. That'll help us unlock their true potential.
So our deep dive today really reveals this fascinating world where, nature's pharmacy is proving to be a powerful, albeit complex, ally in this ongoing fight against cancer.
I think that's right. And the ability of these compounds, this dual benefit, not just boosting conventional therapies, but also significantly cutting down their adverse reactions, that's a really crucial insight to hold on to.
Definitely. So here's something maybe for you to mull over as we wrap up, as we keep uncovering these really intricate natural mechanisms. How might our sort of broader, more holistic understanding of the body, and maybe even our daily habits, like how we manage stress, how might all that become even more vital in the future of cancer treatment?